Mission Mobilization Chats with Ryan Cho, Multiplying Mission Mobilization Movements. This podcast is powered by Global Mission Mobilization Initiative. Subscribe, watch, and listen on YouTube today. Find more exciting resources, teachings, and tools for mission mobilization on globalmmi.net.
All right, well, welcome to our 36th episode of Mission Mobilization Chats, where we consider the foundational importance of this ministry called Mission Mobilization and how we can see it understood and really implemented across the global body of Christ. So in this episode, we're going to actually review the three levels of scattering that can and ought to be the natural result of a local ministry that is choosing to emphasize the Great Commission, choosing to put the Great Commission at the core of its purpose. Well, if a church is doing that, then there are three levels of scattering that should be, over time, the natural result of this kind of ministry. We actually looked in depth at these three levels of scattering in episode number 23. And so if you're interested in going back, we're just going to go quickly over some things in order to get to some other important information in this episode. But if you want to know more about those three levels of scattering, feel free to go back to episode 23 and listen and watch that podcast episode. Then we're going to consider in this episode a bit more information about level one scattering. We want to understand what that is all about, unpack it a little bit, and then we're going to consider a helpful tool to enable practical and very fruitful outreach through this level one kind of scattering. All right, so that's where we're going in this episode. So let's start by, when we look at the modern global church, it's very common for us to understand that we are meant to gather in a building, right, that's called a church. That's how we understand the church. What do? We gather together. We fellowship on Sundays and other days of the week. That's the mentality related to the modern global church. However, from a biblical perspective and from a Spirit-led perspective, this is quite counter and quite contrary to the natural process God has set up among a true community of believers, a true community of faith. Instead of gathering together, the way of the Spirit actually compels His corporate body of Christ and every individual who's a part of this body, the Spirit actually compels us outward, all right? He wants us scattering. He wants us multiplying. He wants us reproducing ourselves with making new disciples. And then He also wants us to reproduce our churches through planting new churches. Now, missionary statesman, a man by the name of Roland Allen, who lived more than 100 years ago. Actually, he was a missionary in China in the late 1800s. He has suggested that God has actually put within the heart of every believer a natural instinct to communicate the gospel of the kingdom and to influence many people around them. And He's put this in their hearts and to do this of their own initiative. Okay, so Roland Allen basically says the Holy Spirit has put a natural desire within every believer to communicate the gospel and to influence others with it. And He's put it in us in such a way that we want to do it of our own initiative. All right. Now, this initiative is not forced upon them, or it's not even something that necessarily needs to be encouraged. All right. This is something that the Holy Spirit has put into the heart and the life of every born again disciple. All right, so Roland Allen would go so far as to say it is actually innate, this desire, this compulsion, if we can use that word, to spread the message, to scatter, to be multiplying ourselves, to be reproducing our churches. He says this is innate to a follower of Jesus. Why? Well, it makes sense, right? The Holy Spirit indwells us. And because the Holy Spirit has this desire to scatter, to multiply, to reproduce the love of Jesus among all people, and that Holy Spirit is inside of us, then it makes sense that we too have this natural desire. And in fact, when we look at our big picture vision, right, of the fulfillment of the Great Commission, that fulfillment is actually dependent upon believers that will embrace this natural inclination instead of squelching it, which is very common, instead of resisting it, to embrace this natural thing that the Holy Spirit has put inside of every born-again believer to spread the message of the gospel. Now, we tend to talk about three levels of scattering, this idea that every local ministry, right, every believer is meant to scatter in some ways, okay? Now, we're not saying you shouldn't gather together as the church. Of course you should. The problem is we've gotten so focused on gathering that we've overlooked the need to scatter and to reproduce and to multiply ourselves. So there's three levels of scattering. Level one scattering, and we're going to focus a little bit more on this one. We're going to come back around to it. Level one scattering includes everybody from a local church community. And those believers are deliberately engaging in natural relationships that God has put around them. So these natural relationships could be relatives, our web of relationships with our human relatives, right? They could also include coworkers at your workplace, neighbors in your neighborhood, classmates at the university. Whatever the natural relationships are that God has given to us as believers, He wants us engaging with those. So this is not going out and preaching the gospel to strangers, though that may have its place. This is more understanding the reality that God has put certain people around us on purpose, and He is inviting us to engage with them with God talk, we can say, or in just natural, not weird, not kind of, okay, let me preach the gospel to you. No, nothing like that. Just natural conversations that focus on spiritual things. Okay, that's level one scattering. And again, we said everybody in the body of Christ. Every member of a local church community is meant to be engaging in this way. Now, level two scattering is a little bit different. This is when a specific team, so this is no longer everybody in the church, but when a specific team from that local church community relocates between 50 kilometers and 200 kilometers, maybe across a major city to the other side of that major city, and they go for the purpose of serving among what we call a near culture people group. Okay, so this near culture has similar background, similar language, similar customs, similar traditions, etc. So it's not a huge jump for that team to go 50 or 200 kilometers to still a cross-cultural situation, but they're a near culture, okay, in a major city. All right, that's level two scattering. Now, level three scattering is more the traditional idea we have of mission sending. When a team from a local church community relocates now a little bit farther than 50 to 200 kilometers, right? They're relocating across national borders. And they are living now and serving among what we call a distant culture people group. So level two scattering going to near culture people group, similar culture, not learning a new language, similar food, all the rest. Just 50 or 200 kilometers on the other side into a new province, into a new state. That kind of a thing. Level three, you are going now to a distant culture people. That means we don't know the language. We don't know the culture. They're very different from us in every way. All right, so that's just a brief introduction of the three levels of scattering. A lot more that we can say about each one of those. And again, you can go back and check that out in episode number 23. But now we want to focus a little bit more on level one scattering in this episode. And so we said that every believer is meant to be equipped to engage with the gospel of the kingdom with those who are around them. Okay, so we said these, through these natural relationships that God has given, but the problem is that many of us as believers, as lay people sitting in churches, right, we've not been trained with how to communicate the gospel in this natural way with our natural relationships. Okay, so a major reason why more people actually are not engaging with others in this evangelism kind of way is because they've not been taught how to do it. They've not been shown what they need to say, how they are to present it, so they feel quite ill-equipped. They feel quite inadequate about doing this natural thing that Roland Allen said, and I believe he's right, that the Holy Spirit is inside of us, so we have a natural compelling to demonstrate and to speak the gospel of the kingdom to those who are around us. But if we've not been shown how to do that, we step back. Okay, we don't press forward and we choose not to be faithful in this. So what we need is to show our church members, to show believers, to show our lay people that this kind of outreach, this level one scattering that every believer is meant to do, it's not just the pastor, it's not just the evangelist, we're all meant to engage in these because God has given all of us natural relationships that He is expecting that we are going to take the responsibility of communicating the gospel. And so what we wanted to talk in the rest of this episode is about the fact that every believer can be equipped and needs to be equipped to lead God conversations in a very natural way. These conversations that lead people to consider spiritual things. And then beyond leading them to consider spiritual things, we're going to show a tool that enables you to begin to begin meeting with these friends, okay? Maybe one or two, maybe a group of five, whatever it might be, and actually guide them through a very specific model related to the gospel of the kingdom and what Jesus is all about. All right, so every believer needs to be equipped to do this. All right, so how does this start? Well, it starts by a believer in the churches, and every believer, again, is meant to be doing this, is looking for people who are in their natural relationships, again, not strangers, but people that God has already put into their lives that trust them, okay, that are watching their lives as a born-again believer even. And this believer starts to have a few conversations, and they are looking for people who appear to be open to talk about spiritual things. We call them receptive people. In missiology, that's a common term. We're looking for the receptivity of people to talk about spiritual things. So this is what we call spiritual receptivity. Okay? So after a few conversations, not really even, you're not sharing the gospel with them, you're just prodding, so to speak, to see if they're open even to discuss spiritual things. And then after having several conversations with these individuals, maybe in the workplace, again, maybe in a neighborhood, maybe with relatives in people's homes, etc., you can then, this believer can then, begin to discern and determine whether these individuals that you've been having these conversations with are open to learn more about following Jesus, okay? And as they are, after many conversations and you sense, yeah, I think this person is open to spiritual things, then you move on to step two, all right? And step two is that then you begin to ask them, you seem, you know, pretty open to talking about spiritual things and your spiritual journey and hearing my spiritual journey, etc. Would you be open to meeting together with me, maybe on a weekly basis, maybe every other week, some people even twice a week, whatever, okay? Would you be open to meeting with me on a regular basis and studying the Bible together, okay? Now, that sounds very threatening. All right, it's actually not. Because when we talk to Muslims, when we talk to Buddhists, when we talk to Hindus, we often find that they are quite open to reading and studying the Bible. Now, they've been taught since they were very, very small that the Bible's corrupt, the Bible's wrong, that their books are the right books, the true books, etc. But when you really ask them, have you ever studied or even read the Bible yourself? Most Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, atheists, when they're honest, they say, actually, no, I never have. I just heard this from the imam. I heard this from my Hindu teacher, you know, whoever that might have been. All right. So they are willing and open often to study the Bible together, particularly if they do not feel threatened. Now, if we make them somehow feel threatened and that we're going to shove the Bible down their throat, then of course not. They're not interested in that. But neither would we be if we were in that situation. All right. So we ask them, would you be willing to meet with me at a coffee shop or in my apartment or whatever it might be, okay, in the lunchroom at your workplace, right? And just talk about the Bible and even read the Bible a little bit together, all right? Then, if they say, yes, we would love to do that, once you establish that they are willing to meet and even willing to study the Bible together, then you need a plan. Right? Then you need a plan. And this is where a lot of the breakdown of this process happens. We don't really know. Well, what verses do we highlight? You know, John 3:16, you know, God loves the world. Okay, that's a good place, right? It's a good verse. But we actually need to give them a lot more information about how we are helping unbelievers who are steeped in religious worldviews that are very different than the worldview of the Word of God. Very different from the worldview of the Bible. Okay, so how do we help them overcome that worldview? We need a plan. So to do this whole process, it's very helpful that we have a guide, have a handbook, all right, that enables believers to lead conversations and even to lead what Bible verses we start with, etc., to lead these conversations step by step by step by step. Now, this book has been designed with this purpose in mind. So this book is called Proclaiming the Kingdom, and the subtitle is A Roadmap for Bearing God's Message Among All Peoples. A Roadmap for Bearing God's Message Among All Peoples. And what this book reveals is the same thing that Scripture reveals. Scripture reveals a 5-phase framework that helps us to proclaim the gospel of the kingdom verse by verse, step by step, sub-truth by sub-truth. Okay? So this 5-phase framework, and we're going to get into what the 5 phases are in a moment, this is a very useful grid, a very useful plan to help us to be able to faithfully proclaim kingdom authority among all people groups, and particularly in this level one scattering in our friendships, the natural friendships that we have. Meeting in a coffee shop. Okay, they're open to spiritual things. Now what do I do? Now what do I say to them? Do I just say, well, Jesus died for your sin, he loves you, now pray a prayer? Well, that might work for a few people, but those that are steeped in Hindu ideology, right? Muslim understanding, Buddhist philosophy, they need a lot more information to help them understand the gospel, who Jesus is, what God has done, and why it all matters in the first place. All right. So all 5 of these phases that are found in this book, and we start with phase 1, then go on to phase 2, etc. All 5 of them are very, very important to the overall message of the gospel and of the overall message of the kingdom of God, which the whole gospel is about anyway. All right. So all 5 are necessary, but it's helpful for us to break down the entire message of the gospel into bite-sized pieces. And that's what these 5 phases are all about. Okay. Now, each of these phases includes a lot of sub-truths in the phases. All right. So there's 5 phases, yes, but there's many sub-truths that make up each of the phases. So if we want to see these people movements to Christ, if we want to see church planting movements multiplying among an unreached people group, if we want to see our friends coming to and our family members coming to saving faith in Jesus Christ, then we need to give them the whole gospel message, not just the tiny little pieces that we're prone to giving. And again, this book is very helpful to the process. It can be downloaded from our GMMI website, globalmmi.net. You can order it on Amazon and all the different platforms. You can even download a free PDF of this. So we're not interested in making money. We just need, we want to get it out to you, and we need to cover a few of our costs. So that's why there is a little bit of a charge on the ordered version. All right. Now let's look at these five phases. So this is what you're going to be walking through with the person that you're now meeting with, your friend, your relative, in order to read the Bible and share the gospel, the complete message of the gospel that will enable them to really follow hard after Jesus. So phase one, all right, phase one, this is where we start. Okay, we don't jump to phase three because they're not born again yet. Okay, they're not saved yet, all right? And these are not just about getting them saved. These five phases include that process of giving them all the background information they need to understand the gospel and then to choose to follow Jesus. Then they get born again, and then they need to be discipled. All right? We don't leave them once they say a prayer and are born again. No, we continue walking through them in phases three, four, and five, which are when they're actually born again. All right? So phase one, it says this. This is the title of it. The kingdom has come near through the life and ministry of Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God made King. So we go all the way back in phase one to talk about creation. All right, there's sub-truths about who this God is that created all things, what his character is like, what his personality is like. Again, Muslims, Buddhists, Hindus, they've never thought about these things related to God. So before we introduce Jesus, we need to introduce God. Then we need to introduce what has happened to humanity, that we fell into sin through our great, 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 great grandparents, Adam and Eve, right? And we now are stained with sin and we need a savior. And then that opens the door to begin talking in many different sub-truths about the life and ministry of Jesus, who then went to the cross, and why all that matters. All of that, all those many sub-truths, I think there's something like 35 or 40 different distinct sub-truths in phase one alone. Then we move on to phase two with them. Now, when we're meeting over coffee, maybe we're doing one sub-truth a day, maybe two sub-truths a day, depending on how they're responding and how they're handling it. And there's many Bible verses related to each sub-truth of these phases. Now, phase two is that human beings enter this kingdom that has been brought near by Jesus. How do we do that? By being born again from above. So phase two is all about what it means to be born again, what it looks like, the surrender that is needed, the yielding to the lordship of Jesus, all these very specific sub-truths, how they get born again, okay, what it looks like from a biblical perspective, and then how they even join a church, how they get baptized, all of that is wrapped into phase number two. And again, there's about 30 or so specific sub-truths that are under that phase. Phase three, those who enter the kingdom of God, this is now, they're born again already, and now they're starting to get into the discipleship process. Those that enter the kingdom receive all the benefits of the kingdom, all the blessings, all the privileges of this new inheritance that they have now in Jesus as a born again believer. Well, we go through in the phase three, the specific benefits, the specific privileges, the blessings that you now have as a child of God that you did not have before when you were living outside the kingdom of God. All right. So that is a very important phase that gets into the essence of who we are now as born again disciples. Now, phase four, we continue. Phase four says citizens of the kingdom are responsible to live according to the kingdom's ways, according to the kingdom principles and operations. And we are meant to spread that kingdom now ourselves among all the ethnic people groups throughout the whole world. So this is where we teach new believers and even old believers, right, who maybe haven't caught this idea that they have a responsibility before God in this mission thrust, this mission heartbeat that Jesus has, not just for a few people that are called missionaries, no way. This calling is for the entire body of Christ to take up. And so we present it very strongly in phase number 4, where they look verse by verse by verse by verse to realize their own responsibility. Now again, this is happening over many months, possibly many years, right, of meeting with them, going through phase 1, going through phase 2. Okay, they get born again, praise the Lord. Continuing to meet with them, going through phase 3, going through phase 4. And then phase 5 is one that's often overlooked. We hardly even teach believers about this, let alone new believers, right? Phase 5 is that this brought near kingdom in this age, it will be fully established here in this world by the second coming, or the glorious transition to a new age, the age to come, by the physical and visible return of Jesus Christ. Teaching about all the details related to the second coming is actually a very important part of the overarching gospel of the kingdom that the Lord has entrusted us with. Okay, so those are the 5 phases. I went over them very, very quickly, but please get this book, download the free PDF, and get moving related to the sub-truths with your friends, with your relatives, etc. Now, one of the things we've learned about these 5 phases is that we cannot skip over one phase. Sometimes we look through a book like this, we go, okay, we kind of pick and choose. All right, I'll grab this part. I think that's relevant to my people, and I'll grab this part. And I understand wanting to do it that way. But what I've seen over the years is that if we skip one phase, or if we overemphasize another phase, then actually what happens is it produces deficient disciples. Okay, it produces new disciples that maybe are a little bit malnourished spiritually speaking. So when we pull a whole phase out, or we just focus on one phase because we kind of like that one, right? Then what we do is we actually reduce the message. We minimize the complete message, and it actually hurts the people we're trying to reach. And if they do get born again, praise the Lord for that. But then as they're developing, they're not necessarily having the full gospel message that Jesus entrusted to us, that he called the gospel of the kingdom. And then we get a little frustrated, right? Because we're only giving a little part. We're witnessing, quote unquote. We're evangelizing different people, but we only give them a little piece of the overarching message. And then when they don't respond, we say, what's wrong? Why are they not responding to the gospel? And then what we can often do is say, well, I've been a witness, so they did not hear it right. They did not respond. They were hostile to the gospel. So then we kind of say, well, we can kick off the dust from our shoes, like Scripture says in Acts, and we can kind of move forward with a clear conscience. They're the ones that resisted the gospel. I'm not so sure that's true. What I think has happened is that we haven't necessarily been as good of stewards to the whole gospel message as the Lord would desire. Now, again, I mentioned this, but I want to highlight it again. This whole process takes time. Once we start meeting with those people in this level one scattering, we're meeting over coffee over many months, many years possibly, okay? We're going through one sub-truth a day or 2 sub-truths a day. All right. That means we're not getting very far. You know, that's okay. And that needs to be okay, because one of the problems in our generation is we try and move people through the gospel too quickly. All right. We need to do it at their pace. We need to do it so that they're able to grasp it, so that they can ask lots of questions of us and of the Word of God, the Bible, and we can go back to the Bible and try and answer them a little bit by little bit. But we're not necessarily in a rush. That's the key thing. We don't want to be in this quick kind of thing. All right, so this whole episode then has been about empowering lay people within our local church communities, every believer, to engage in their natural relationships that God has placed around them by guiding their friends into spiritual conversations so that you can see, are they receptive? That's step one. Are they open? Then if you determine that they are, then invite them to study the Bible together. And then you start Genesis. And again, this book lays it out very, very systematically. We read, they read, verse by verse by verse, passage by passage, and then we help them understand what's going on in those passages. So this is the power of level one scattering. And I believe this helpful guide will enable believers to have a tool. Again, we said earlier, the reason they don't do it, believers, is because they don't feel equipped. They don't know how. This is a user-friendly way that every believer can use in guiding their natural relationships into talking about the gospel of the kingdom. Amen? Let me close us in prayer. Jesus, we thank you because you are the one that has given us this commission. You are the one who has put the Holy Spirit inside of us that has that natural inclination to want to spread the message, to want to scatter the gospel out far and wide. Lord, we want to be faithful to that. And yet often we feel like we don't have the knowledge, we don't have the equipping, we don't have the know-how. Lord, I am asking, God, that you would raise up, Father, this generation of believers all over the earth. Lord, empower them to go out in this level one scattering in their natural relationships, in their workplace, in their families, in their schools, in their universities, etc., and begin to talk with people about spiritual things and then begin to study the Bible together. Lord, we're asking that that would be a natural result of the Holy Spirit living inside of every believer. Lord, help us to do this. Help your church to walk this out. We commit this to you and we bless your name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen and amen. The Lord bless you richly today.
To listen to more Mission Mobilization Chats, subscribe on YouTube or go to globalmmi.net.